Hello, friends. Hello, people out there in the universe, in this timey-wimey, Jeremy kind of looking place. This is We Have Thoughts. We're doing our conversations with Oscar. Too bad it's not Oscar Isaac. But, you know, we love this Oscar just almost as much. Today, we are talking about the trial of the Chicago 7. I think I already said I'm Joy, but...
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Anna.
And yeah, we're here to chat today. I don't know where this voice is coming from.
I love it.
I was super chill earlier. I was having like the best day ever.
Oh, good.
And I was like, oh my God, is this what not being depressed feels like? This is great. Sorry, TMI. TMI.
No, girl.
I did so much laundry. The bathroom's clean.
What an adult thing. Like doing laundry made you feel good.
Yeah. I like went to the doctor.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to Target.
Did you go inside?
I did. I had to.
How was it?
Oh my gosh, it was the best. Literally, I was like, okay.
Are you crying? In the
no. Well, no.
That means yes.
I wasn't going to go to Target, but I was like, I left the doctor and I was like, I look fucking great today. I should buy a full length mirror so I can take a picture of myself.
Did you?
I didn't, because they didn't have the color I wanted. Yeah, I mean, it was expensive, but
I mean, you know that buying them bucks, you can do it.
I know. Anyways, not important. The trial of my life is not on the stand. The trial of the Chicago 7 is on the stand. That is
bringing
what we're talking
back.
About.
Yeah. Joy, bringing it back. It's like you've been podcasting for years or something. That's
oh
amazing.
My God, it's like I don't have any focus ever at all. Thanks. So the trial of the Chicago 7 was nominated for six Oscars, not
six.
Seven. It should have been seven just to make it like a nice
right?
match. Okay, including Best Picture, obviously. Best Supporting Actor for Sacha Baron Cohen, Best Original Screenplay for Aaron Sorkin, Best Editing, Ellen Baumgarten, I'm sorry. Best Cinematography, Eden Papa Michael. I don't know if it's, I can't pronounce it, or it's orange and I can't read. And also Best Original Song, Hear My Voice by Celeste. Was that the song that was playing over the credits?
Yes.
Okay.
You said Papa Garden. I was like, Papa, can you hear me? Sorry. Not what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what the fuck did we think? since we haven't talked about this movie at all together before we recorded. We've actually stayed shut up about this because I only watched it 2 hours ago.
Okay, so clearly when I was ill, it really messed me up because in my head, I thought I saw this in the summer. I saw it in October. So again, the month of November really messed me up a lot.
Oh.
So anyways, I saw it in October when it premiered and then I saw it the other day, yesterday, whatever day it was. So, yeah. Sorry.
Anna, when did you watch it?
I watched it a few weeks ago, maybe about a month or so ago. I enjoyed it, but I'm a sucker for Sorkin. I need that on a t-shirt. Sucker for Sorkin.
Just talk about it. Yeah. I was wondering how you were going to feel about it because you are a big Aaron Sorkin fan. I think the only thing I've seen of his is the few episodes of season one of West Wing and then The Social Network. I think that's about, I don't think I've seen anything else of his. But I did enjoy The Social Network and I did enjoy those few episodes of The West Wing. So.
I do want to say, like, I appreciate and I love Sorkin, but I also am aware of, like, his flaws.
And what are his flaws?
I mean.
Don't keep up with the gossip.
Just that he tends to paint a rosier picture of events. And his writing is much more stylistic than it is realistic.
Yeah, fair.
He tends to go for the beats and the rhythm of what he, of the conversation than facts and figures, which is fine.
I think that works really well for like, film and just being like this is the perspective that we're bringing to you via
also,
you know
Also, Aaron Sorkin is... I immediately wanted to make a joke about Lizzie McGuire being an outfit repeater.
oh my God, side note. I just bought Lizzie McGuire ColourPop eyeshadow palette. I'm very excited about it.
You bought it?
Yes. I also bought some body glitter and some...
Shut up, I'm a body glitter.
Yes, I love it. I'm so glad you did that.
Okay, sorry, continue.
He's a line repeater. He often uses...
I did see that.
Lines over and over again. And some of them, I think, are worth it. And the way... I think what it is for him is he finds a way of saying something. And he likes the way it sounds. And it fits within his rhythms that he's trying to create. So he repeats it and reuses it. And a lot of the times it's fine. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like a stylistic thing with like a director that does.
Yeah.
He uses a certain kind of lighting or a certain kind of shot and he uses a certain kind of line.
Yeah.
I like it.
And you know, it's not, it's like just the same way directors have a specific style they're going for. It's not for everybody, but I mean, you can appreciate the work that goes into it, you know? So I was like, there wasn't anything in particular about this screenplay that super, super stood out to me. But I did think it was a solid movie. I didn't think it was going to be garbage, but I didn't know if I was going to like super love it. But it was like a good, solid, like B+.
Yeah, I think Sorkin is really good at creating a good pace for things. And this movie I felt like had a very good pace. I enjoyed the back and forth nature of it. It felt very cohesive to me.
It makes sense that it got nominated for editing. I think in the editing paired with the screenplay, those two make sense together. And it was well edited. I will give it that, like especially because while they're on trial, they're going back to what events actually transpired those couple of days and those couple of weeks. So the back and forth of that was, I feel like that meshed pretty well.
What about you, Crystal? What are your feelings?
I think my problems with the movie were basically what you said about Aaron Sorkin and his things that he does. Because
stylistic over realistic.
Yeah, and I guess I could understand that because he's, like, optimistic and he wants it to be, and which is fine. I mean, optimism is good for the world, but at the same time, you're telling a true story. So it's a little bit like, I feel like he thinks words can solve everything, and that isn't always true. But again, like, I understand where he's coming from because life is bleak and, you know, whatever. Sorry, I blanked on what I was going to say. But yeah, I didn't think it was the best movie, but it definitely wasn't trash either. It was fine. It wasn't like, I don't know, especially that ending to me felt very corny. Felt very, like...
Cheese City.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is really not... I don't know, it just felt like it felt like a tonal change for me, that ending.
It's very Sorkin.
Well, because it was very like the scene before, not the scene right before, but just a little bit before, a few minutes before, they were, what's his name, Mark Rylance was like grilling him on like, what would you say when the tape was played? Mm-hmm. And so I thought the intensity of that scene and the back and forth of the editing and all that worked really well. And then you went to the end and it's just like, woo, cheers.
Yeah.
It felt kind of like, what is it called? The, like a procedural. Or like an after-school special where it's like, we're going to wrap it up in a cute little bow.
Yeah, like my first...
And like, that may have been what happened. It just, with the music and the way that they direction... what am I saying? The way that they composed that scene together. It was just
But it wasn't what really happened. He started reading the names and then he was held in contempt of court. So he didn't get that far. But he did keep a list, and it wasn't Eddie Redmayne's character it wasn't the person he was portraying. He didn't read them out. It was the guy who was keeping the list, who stood up and started reading them out.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
interesting,
he was cut off.
Yeah, I think like And truly, I really haven't seen too much of Aaron Sorkin, so I'm just kind of basing mostly on Social Network and this, and that one West Wing episode that I saw for back when we did episodes. Yeah. But I think, like, with, he's definitely a better writer than he is a director, I think, because he's a playwright, so, like, you can tell his talents are in words or in that kind of stuff, because I read part of the script, and it's excellent. Like, it's very tight. Like, when he's giving direction on, like, scenes, it's very specific, and you can see the pictures in your head. It's fantastic. So the script is really, really good. I'll link it when we post this. But, like, it's so... I just don't feel like the direction was up to the same standard, if that makes any sense.
Fair. Yeah, he is definitely one of those writers that includes a lot of detail in his script. There's specific scenes in, like, the West Wing and in... Newsroom, where specific songs, he wrote a scene around a song because, like, that was the feeling or the moment he was going for. So he would talk about a certain song in a scene, and they would have to try and find a way to get that approved. But I found the perfect review on Letterboxd today.
Yay! I love Letterboxd.
Aaron Sorkin is way too good a writer to be forced to work with such a mediocre director as Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah! That's one of my favorite reviews. Another favorite, I didn't save it, but it's like, these Chicago spinoffs are getting out of hand. I love that. Those are my two favorite reviews of the
Chicago
show.
PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Trial.
Yeah. So good.
What's next, Chicago Playground?
Chicago Education System.
That'd be good.
Right? Call me, NBC. Call me. I think it's interesting because this is similar to the parallels we had with, 2018 with Dunkirk and Darkest Hour, where this and Judas and Black Messiah, how it's the same time period, same characters, but different, like, angle of it. Very interesting. I wrote, one of my notes is Frank Langella is being incredibly effective at being extremely frustrating.
Oh, yeah. I love Frank Langella. I put it on my letterbox. I was like, I'm really happy about this being the Americans fan and the Succession fan because Frank Langella and Jeremy Strong, I fucking love those two.
Okay. So let me just tell you, when I first saw this movie, this before, I was a Kindle stan because I am forever and for, this is, also because Jeremy Strong is my birthday buddy. We share a birthday, so I love him forever. Shout out if you're ever listening. Probably not. It's fine. And so one of my first notes is, oh, my God, birthday buddy. Because I miss Succession. So, yes, I love Jeremy Strong.
He is apparently a method actor. And
I can totally see that.
He was begging to be tear gassed and to be thrown down by the ex-cop they had on set. He could know what it felt like. And they were like, no.
No.
I love Jeremy.
You're the actor.
I didn't appreciate his performance the first time around, but now that I love him, he's like, he tells, what is it, Mark Lentz, I have an egg. He's like, want to get rid of that? You don't think I want to?
The whole egg situation is hilarious. Also, that he caught that? Amazing.
Love you, Jeremy.
I was expecting to be a little bit annoyed by Sacha Baron Cohen's performance, but I was not.
I was blown away.
I was like, okay, great. This is good.
I mean, I haven't seen him in much, and I was expecting Borat. You know, I was expecting an over-the-top performance, but I thought he was really well-grounded. I thought he did a really great job. He sounded so smart, and he portrayed that so well that I think he must be really smart. You know,
I've seen interviews with him. He's very intellectual.
It's made me want to go back and watch the Borat films and to check out more of his stuff. But I thought he did great. And when he was on the stand and he said that line about overthrowing the government every couple of years. Sorry, my dog just scared the shit out of me.
Same shit, different decade, basically.
It's also a West Wing line.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Toby goes on a kick about, I think it's Toby. He goes on a kick about going every couple of years we get to overthrow the government. It's called elections.
He's just recycling his own stuff, huh?
Yeah, he does. Also, the egg joke.
The egg joke? He's done that before.
Anoof. Yeah, that was also in The West Wing. Season one, I think. Season one. Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Sasha Baron Cohen, what was I going to say?
So back to the editing thing. I really was like, okay, fine, editing. But I realized it when they're talking about when the protest, when all that stuff comes to a head and the drums are underneath what's happening. And so they're talking, like he's on the stand talking about it. And then it's like all the other actors are like, you know, right before everything happens. I feel like that's what they submitted for their editing nomination. Like, submit this. This is our editing part. Because yeah, that was definitely the height of it, for sure.
Yeah. And also, like, I guess editing makes sense when you consider the amount of, like, the all the different roles that you had and all the time and attention that you had to give to all the different roles. That makes sense when you have to juggle all of that. And make it effective and make it so it's not just like cut, 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 cut.
And the script reads like that too. Very well. That script is really good. Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen, I watched the Actors Roundtable is it Variety or Hollywood Reporter?
Hollywood Reporter.
And he was on there and he was saying that Aaron Sorkin, I believe, whenever they met, he wanted to meet him and be like, have like a chat with him because he had only known him as Borat. So he was like, I didn't think that you'd be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And so he said whenever they met, he convinced him by just how he was actually as a person, not just like that role. Because he didn't take him seriously.
And originally this was a Spielberg film. It was supposed to be. And
I can totally see that.
And Spielberg wanted Heath Ledger to play Tom Hayden. And they were supposed to meet to talk about the film the day before. The day he died the day before the meeting.
Oh my God. Wow. What? You know what's interesting is one of the biggest things I discovered from this movie was that film Twitter hates Eddie Redmayne. I had no idea.
Yeah, because of both the movie he did, the one that I saw, and I was like, look, I'm so ahead of the game.
I saw that, Anna, and...
And then he came out in support of J.K. Rowling.
Oh, he did do that.
Oh, gross. He did?
Yeah, he did.
What's that movie called?
What is that movie? How do I not know?
We saw it together. Remember, and I was like, I know nothing of the trans experience, but neither does this movie.
The Danish Girl.
There you go.
The Danish Girl.
Yeah, I was I'm not going to get on that movie right now.
We talked about that movie already.
I guess maybe I just didn't pay attention, but when this movie came out, I was on Twitter, and, like, the comments I was reading about him.
Really?
Film Twitter does not like him at all.
I'm gonna Twitter him.
It was very interesting. Another big thing I learned from this movie.
What a great thing to learn from
that
a movie.
Tom Hayden, a couple of years later, marries Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
In real life.
Yeah. What? Wait, which one was Tom Hayden?
Eddie Redmayne.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, he was a...
Two years after the events of this movie, I believe. 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Oh.
So I want Jane Fonda to a round table of these actors about the movie. That would be amazing. Jane Fonda, get on it, girl.
He was a big... a politician in California, and he did a lot of advocacy and activism in California. Makes sense that she would marry him.
Yeah, I know, because that's what she's about. You know what? Yaya was only in half of this movie, but yeah, I still think he should have also gotten a nomination.
I mean, yeah.
Because he was a scene stealer from the first scene he was on the thing. Because he definitely went like full on into the character because it was so different than anything he's done before. And even like his accent was like really good. And I was like, you know what? I believe this. Who are you? You're not Yaya. You're someone else. Like, this is great.
He was wonderful. That part, his story in the movie broke my heart. But in the movie, he is gagged and tied up and he's only there for that one time. In real life, Bobby Seale was gagged and chained from October 29th through November 5th.
No. Yeah. No.
And in Judas and the Black Messiah, there's a brief moment where they're talking about Bobby Seale, and there's a court drawing of him gagged and tied.
I noticed that when I was watching. I was like, oh my God, I remember that from the...
In the trial.
In the trial movie.
Yeah, and then, of course, I saw this before Judas and the Black Messiah, just like a few weeks before. And so as soon as I found out Judas and the Black Messiah was about Fred Hampton, I was like, I know what happens to you. I know what this is about. Damn it.
Yeah.
It was quite a bummer.
I mean, I like that we're learning more about Fred Hampton, though. That's good.
That's
yeah, me too.
That's I did kind of... I kind of like these couple of movies that we're seeing now that it's like history, but in film, and it's like actually relevant and it's like actually important for us to learn. I did like that. But I really think, like, especially Yahya scene, right before they take him back, where he's talking about Fred. I was like, oh man.
I really like that scene when they come tell him that Fred had died, and he tells Eddie Redmayne, he's like, your life is a fuck you to your father, right? And you can see how that's different from a rope in a tree.
Woo! Chills.
Woo!
Heavy shit.
Woo! Chills.
Yeah. He was really heavy. But yeah. Yeah, it was great. And I think he should have gotten nominated for whatever. Especially because he's an Emmy winner. I thought, okay, those would be easier.
Right, yeah. He's already Emmy, got some award
it'll
push.
Be, you know, but fine, whatever.
Emmy winner.
Because I really think, and nothing against Sacha Baron Cohen's performance, because he was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of this is, like, love for Borick as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, a combination. Because they were not going to nominate Borick for an actor. They just won't do it. But they will for this. So they're like, well, this will be for this movie and this movie. I feel like that's what that was.
Yeah.
Also, I think the Oscars love when people play against type.
Yes. Yeah.
They're like, you would never expect this kind of performance from Borat.
Also, right, they love, like, real people too. They love real stories.
To be like intelligent and like.
I forgot to look at that this year to see how many.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah, check it for the next podcast.
Do it.
Yeah, I will.
This note says, "Bitch, not my buddy." It's the girl that was like playing Jeremy Strong, playing with his heartstrings. Oh, not my buddy.
Fucking
not
rude.
Not my birthday buddy.
Fucking rude. How dare you?
I wrote ACAB really big.
Fuck yeah.
You're what?
ACAB.
Oh.
Okay, so this movie is nominated for cinematography, correct?
Yes.
I would hate to see it because I didn't see nothing. And considering I was like paying really close attention because I was like, all right, this is my category, bitch. I didn't. It just seemed very, like, standard, very typical. There was no, like, interesting shots or composition.
It wasn't inspired cinematography to me.
It was just very, like, paint-by-numbers cinematography.
That's good.
And I was like, okay, we're facing the judge. Okay, we're facing the jury. Okay, we're facing the... Okay, we're outside. All right.
Yeah, there's no one shot where I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Like, I did not write any. I usually have a shot list.
Yeah, shots, no shots?
I did not have a shot list for this.
Same.
None shots. I think more of it was the editing. I don't think it necessarily should have been cinematography. If anything, bitch, I would have taken this out, put Minari in there.
I was just going to say that.
Minari was beautiful. It was like a soft... little painting, everything was glowing and light.
Well, I'll wait to talk about when we get there.
But the courtroom, look, I've seen some very creative people do some very interesting things with some very basic sets. But this, no, take it away. Get it out of there. I'll give you editing. I will concede editing. But cinematography, it was not. There was no cinnamon. There was no spice. It was bland and saltless. Thank you.
Salt. Thank you for your time. Is that even salt?
Nope, there was no salt in this.
Wow.
No, it was just no. No.
The expert has spoken.
I mean, I'm not an expert.
I mean, you know photography and pictures. I have a cell phone, so whatever. What do I know? Anyway.
What
the fuck was that? Sorry.
Eddie Redmayne.
I liked how, okay, speaking of Eddie Redmayne, I like how they go, sorry, I remember to know, whenever they go to see Michael Keaton, I know, the housekeeper's like, why'd you stand up?
Oh, yes. Where she called him and she was like, I noticed you were the only one to stand up.
Why was that? Yes, ma'am, call him out.
Also, his fucking excuse, it's a reflex.
Yeah!
Sir, you literally, your friend handed you the note.
The first and person you passed to it, with him?
And you passed it to everyone else.
It,
how? I mean, I can't say shit because I forget things after I read them.
Not in that.
No, he did it intentionally. He admitted to it later. He was like, I thought, you know, we want them to go easy on us. He wanted the judge to favor him. He didn't see the point in that little protest.
And that is the problem, I think.
with the rest, especially because, like, when Bobby Seale is in there, he's in the trial, and, like, no one, other than Mark Rylance, when things are getting, like, real, real heavy, no one really is, like, pointing it out, like, hey, they're clearly treating him differently than us. I guess because, you know, racism is so normalized and blah, 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 whatever. But it was just such a, when Mark Rylance finally is like, you can't do this. Like, this is bad. And then even when Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like, okay, clearly what you're doing is illegal. This is not right. You're fucking up. You're being racist. You're discriminating against him. Stop.
And Joel's like, and never in my life have I been accused of racism or whatever.
He's first like, of all. I was like, first of all. First of all, people are always more scared of being called racist than they are of being racist.
Ooh.
And thank you for showing that, Frank Langella. Literally every fucking time. You'd be like, I think what you're doing is a little bit racist. And he was like, how dare you? Yeah. And I was like, bitch, he's chained to the chair.
That's let it be known that you're the first one to call me that. Or
also, because he's literally been, like, contempt of court to Mark Rylance and to the rest of them several other times. Why is Abby not, like, chained and bound to the chair?
Because he was mouthing off all the time.
Yeah, he was.
All the time.
I mean, rightfully so. Like, they both were.
No, yeah, but like, if that's the rule, then...
If you're going to do that for one person, you're going to do it for everybody else. So...
Yeah, points are made.
Bitch.
Basically.
Also, going back to Eddie Redmayne and his character, it's very interesting his take of, like he said, he was like, he didn't want to, he didn't think the little protest was, like, worth upsetting the judge anymore. Mm-hmm. And when he's having that conversation with Abby, and he's like, in 50 years, people are going to look back and they're only going to think of, like, your dirty hippie look. And they're, when they think of the progressive movement, they're just going to think of that. And I'm like, wow. Okay, first of all, like, yeah, that did happen. Because, like, the government and, you know, everybody else wrote history and dictates, like, what we're able to learn in school and blah, 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 whatever. And so, because when I was growing up, I was like, oh, I didn't really know anything about Vietnam, but I was just like, oh, the 60s, like, hippies and whatever, and they're supposed to be negative, and it's not, like, a good thing. It made me think of, I literally need to write this shit down because I don't remember where it was from. But I was reading, like, an article about LGBTQ plus history and stuff. And somebody had said, you know, sometimes if you really think about it, like, the boomers and the older people that are alive now, we seem to think that, like, oh, they're just, like, super conservative and, like, they're not super progressive and they have really, like, old school opinions. And someone replied that, like, the people who were progressive, the people who were trying to make a difference in the world, whether it was during civil rights movement or, you know, LGBTQ circles, they didn't make it that far. They are not around to, like, live into their old age.
Oh, God.
Right.
So we see it with, like, Fred Hampton. We see it with Martin Luther King. Oh, we see it with all of them. And then even, because they were talking specifically in reference to gay elders, because there's not a lot of...
They were wiped out by the AIDS.
...males that, because they didn't survive the AIDS crisis.
Right.
And it was in this article that I was reading that, and I was like, it just hit me like a ton of bricks.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. So I was like, when you look back, there were plenty of leaders. There were plenty of revolutionaries. And they just got either by the government or secondhand by the government or whatever, fighting against all of this injustice, trying to make the world a better place, trying to have a social, cultural, economic revolution. And they're not here to help us or lead us or teach us. And we can't learn from them directly because they didn't make it.
Oh, man.
And shit, that shit just got me. And I was like, okay. All right. So I guess we got to do the work now. But yeah, this really made me think of that, because I was like, there's people like in that trial room that are still alive now.
Yeah.
And it makes me consider like the people who, like, Fred Hampton's wife, what's her name?
Dominique Fischbeck.
Yes, who was portrayed by Dominique Fischbeck. And Fred Hampton's son is like, he's like 50 or something.
Yeah.
He's in his 50s. And so like when I think, like, I see people like in the store or like out in public or whatever, I'm like, what did you do? What were you doing 50 years ago?
Oh, man. Are you going to ask them that next time?
I am very tempted to ask certain people that. I want to be like, what did your grandparents do around this time?
You should be
time?
Like a Billy Eichner type show and be like, hi, what did you do 50 years ago?
Hi, what were you doing in the Civil Rights Movement?
What's that?
Hi, how did you help during the AIDS crisis?
Are you a racist?
Sorry. Anyways, that went a lot deeper than I meant it to. But
no, wow.
Between Judas and the Black Messiah and then this movie, oof.
Yeah.
There's some heavy shit. There's a lot of good movies this year that bring up really excellent questions.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's my two cents.
No, yeah, you're right. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, I concur.
Thank your grandma and grandpa if you have them. Okay?
Yeah.
What?
I'm just saying, hug your grandparents if you have them. Because not everybody does.
So. Yeah. Also, project the elder gaze. Take care of them. You gotta keep them around.
Okay, well.
Anyways.
Sorry, guys.
Let me get off of my little podium now.
Are we ready to go through nominations, or did we just do that? Kind of.
Nominations?
No, we can go through them. Is that what you said?
Like, breakdown, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of just did that, but.
Right.
More or less. Well,
not,
I mean,
officially.
Sure.
I mean, the song was fine. I wasn't really paying attention to the song because I was just like trying to take in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, original song category, whatever. Editing, yes. Cinematography, no. Screenplay, yes. Supporting actor, sure, but I would prefer Yaya to be there.
There's so many options for supporting actor in this
movie.
That's
true.
But I would go Sasha or Yaya.
Or Yaya, yeah. I mean, because everyone else was good, but, like, those two were the ones that were, like you said, stand out. And the picture, sure.
I guess.
I mean, I really wish they'd make it a full 10. I really hate that it's only, like, what, 8, 9?
Eight.
Just make it 10. Why is it only 8? I hate that.
Yeah. There's plenty of room for Ma Rainey and One Night Miami.
Defy Bloods.
Defy Bloods.
First Cow.
First Cow.
Also, yeah, the cow was not nominated for anything, and that's the huge...
The cow should have been a supporting actor.
Or lead. He should have been a lead.
Oh, yeah, lead.
Yeah,
right.
His name is in the title.
First
He's cow. Literally the first cow.
Oh, my God. I need to watch that. It's going to be amazing, Anna. I can't wait. I feel like that's our movie because we saw the trailer so many times.
So yeah, we need you guys to, like, be on Skype at the same time.
Every time we were like, okay, first cow, all right. Oh, yeah, oh.
By, like, the fifth time, we were like, okay, I'll see this.
You give it
good.
Moo moo.
Moo bitch moo. Nay bitch nay.
Oh, I haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah,
so I guess any final... I feel like we didn't talk at all about this. It was very short.
What? I feel like we...
No, I mean, we talked, but, like, I don't feel like it went along
well. We got to rank it.
Okay.
Damn it. Do you have your rankings already?
Yeah, I can go. I'm gonna go with Judas and the Black Messiah is number one, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, Trial of the Chicago Seven.
Literally same. I second.
Wait, what did you say?
Judas, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and then Trial.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I might, depending on the day, I'll switch Sound of Metal for Promising Young Woman. But Trial of Chicago 7 is definitely last. And Judas is definitely first, I think.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Aren't we, like, for the most part, there hasn't been too many years where we've been, like, drastically different. Right?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe as we get to later years, we'll differentiate a little bit more.
I think we all three of us have like a similar mindset about what we think is quality and not.
Also, this year
we can appreciate talent.
Also, and I feel like this year the movies are just overall better.
They're just fucking amazing. Like,
usually there's like maybe one or two that like yes, but pretty much everyone in this category. Well, hold on. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, they're all really... Well, I haven't seen Nomadland yet. Or The Father. But honestly, yeah, they're all...
6 out of 8 is not bad.
Yeah, so, yeah. What did I rate it on Letterboxd? I think you rated it 4 stars. Okay, well, you know, whatever.
What'd you rate it on? Oh, wait, you haven't... Did you
rate it? Out of 5 stars, what would you give it, Anna? 5, 6, 10?
4 is good.
Yeah.
Yeah? I gave it 3.5.
Okay.
A solid B+. There was a moment in there that I was like, but then it got back. Yeah, it got back on the track.
Okay.
I think it's a 4 for me. Pushed it up from 3 to 4 is because it's Sorkin.
Fair.
But I like how you're willing to be like, okay, I see his flaws though. You're not like a...
Yeah, no, I'm not a fanatic. The West Wing holds such a special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I also really loved Newsroom. Social Network is great. And, so is Sports Night. Sports Night is fantastic. I never saw Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, but...
What is Sports Night? Is that a movie?
Sports Night was his sitcom that he had before West Wing. And it was Josh Charles and Peter Krause.
Who the fuck are these
people? Josh Charles, he's a...
He was on The Good Wife.
You ever watch A Good Wife?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then Peter Krause is the guy who's now on 9-1-1. He was in Parenthood. He's dating Lauren Graham.
Is Krause how you say his last name?
I've always heard it pronounced Krause by everyone who's like...
Never knew that.
In the cast, in a cast with him. I've always said Peter Krause, but...
Me too. Okay, all right, well, cool. I never watched Parenthood all the way through, but every time I watched it, I was like, I'm crying too much. I gotta stop with this.
Yeah,
I heard that about Parenthood too.
Parenthood was beautiful, but it's heavy.
It is.
And then Joshua Molina was in that one too. And what's her name? Felicity Huffman.
Ooh, I love her. Wait, is that what I'm thinking?
Shelburne, right?
No, not Felicity Huffman. Why did I confuse Felicity Huffman with the actress who played Felicity on the show Felicity?
Carrie Russell?
Carrie Russell.
Exactly the same.
I just heard Felicity. That's where my brain went.
I was like, I like her fine, but she also just went to jail.
Yeah, jailbird.
No, fuck her. I don't care about her. She was one of the Desperate Housewives, though.
I never watched
that. Oh, it's trash. It's great.
Oh, you love trash.
I love trash.
Beautiful. You know what I love about Desperate Housewives is they whoever created it or named the episodes, they're all named after songs, but there are a lot of them are named after Stephen Sondheim songs.
My God, they're after your own heart, aren't they?
Aww.
I know. My college roommate, Josue. Shout out, Josue. What's up, boy?
Does he listen to us?
I don't know. Probably not. If you do, I love you. I miss you. but he was obsessed with Desperate Housewives. That was his comfort show. And so he was watching it all the time, and I was like, wait, what are the names of these episodes? Excuse me? Do I need to give this show a chance?
Yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah.
So that's the trial of the Chicago 7.
There were 7 of them.
Not trial.
And they were on trial in Chicago. There you go.
Man, there's so much shit that went down in Chicago. I think I might go to Chicago in the summer.
Like the pizza, you know, man.
That's a real deep dish.
The bean, you know?
The bean! Still have never been there.
It's cool.
Yeah? Because it's cold outside?
Well, I went in the summer.
Yeah. It's really nice there in the summer. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you've never been to Chicago or have you never been to the bean?
I've never been to the bean. I've been to Chicago.
I was like, I know you've been to Chicago, so what are you saying? I don't know why I asked then. I'm really tired.
It's okay.
It's okay. We still
it makes
love
for
you.
Fun podcasting, actually.
Yeah, it does.
Also, I'm podcasting in the dark.
Very mysterious right now.
Ooh.
Who's there with you?
Who are you trying to hide?
You have a secret gift?
That's one secret I'll never tell. XOXO.
Gossip Girl.
Me.
I fucking love that show. Again, garbage, but so fucking good.
I'm gonna okay.
Now. All right, that was Trial Chicago and 7. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Back next week or in a couple of days. I don't know which.
We'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Yeah. Yay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.